You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, we're ready to get into the Word now. We're in a sermon series right now called Special Days. And what we're doing, since there's so many kind of holiday days in this season, from Mother's Day and Father's Day, and we looked at the day of Pentecost a couple of weeks ago and different things, we just sort of tried to tie together a theme of just talking about not always just a particular day, but sometimes seasons. Last week, we had one of our Every Nation missionaries from Eastern Europe, Mike Watkins, share on seasons. Sometimes it's not a day, but there's seasons of our lives. And with that in view, I want to talk this morning about transitions, that there are times in our life or days that are transitions. For some of you, the guy who was playing, let's see, what were you playing, Justin? You were playing, what, bass and then piano here. He's one of many who, I saw the nice graduation photo with the cap and gown, and he's one of our many graduates. If you graduated, because I don't know who all graduated. I mean, we're getting so many students here. But if you graduated, or if you graduated high school, or just graduated anything, or wrote your exams, or did something, or passed something, then congratulations. And it's a transition, though, because it's like, oh, no, you know, now I got to get a real job. And it's a transition. And there's all kinds of transitions in our life. I mean, the first transition is like we're in our mummy's womb, and then we come out to the real world, you know, and that's the first transition. But there's many of them in life, and they either sneak up on you, and they kind of upset us, or we can understand about transitions, and we can learn, and we can grow, and we can move through them in a fluid way. And so let's just pray and ask God to illumine his word on this theme from the text that we have today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just the good time that we've already had this morning and the good time that we're going to have in your word, and then later as we hang out together. We're asking God, Holy Spirit, that you would illumine your word to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage that we're going to take is from the book of Joshua. It's really the end of Moses' tenure as leading Israel to the beginning of Moses' assistant Joshua and to his leadership. And so we're going to look at Joshua 1 in the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, in the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So here's the thing about transitions. If you don't transition and you resist transitions when they're upon you, you'll start to look weird. So believe it or not, there was a time when I led worship on a guitar and Sheila was like one of the singers here. Now, we weren't great, okay, but we were making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And but here's the thing. It's like we knew that we were standing in until others would come. Now, we didn't do this in Toronto, for those of you who are new. This is like way back when we lived in Vancouver. And so, but you know, if you don't transition, you can end up looking a little different. So, and even the styles and changes. So I tried to find actually a picture of Sheila and I leading worship, and we couldn't. And this was the closest I could find from 30 years ago. Those would be your worship leaders. I mean, if we were still trying to, you know, hang in there. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, things come full circle. That's actually at Niagara Falls. That was, you know, I'm from West Coast, Vancouver area. Sheila's from Southern Ontario here. And this was my first trip, actually, to Ontario many years ago. And so we had to get the snapshot at Niagara Falls and things. But here's the deal. If you don't transition and you don't, like, update your style a little bit, well, actually, what's happened is they come full circle. Those types of glasses and mustache are right back in style. It maybe wasn't the best example there, because if you just wait long enough, it all comes around. Have you noticed that in styles? But my point was that we have to do transitions well, and if we don't, we can end up doing a lot of damage to ourselves and others. But here's the thing that's for certain, and that is time and life keeps moving forward. But many of us are not equipped for it. And I believe that this passage of Scripture is so rich in giving us an understanding of transition for our lives. And so if we're not equipped for transition time, then it hits us hard in a really devastating way. And so types of transitions. I was thinking about transitions. There's really, I think they can fit into three categories. One is the predictable ones, the ones I've been talking to. If you sign up for a course at the University of Toronto and it's 4 years, you know that if, you know, you do your homework and things go reasonably well, 4 years later, around there, you're going to graduate and it's going to be over. Or, you know, when you finish your elementary school, you go through those grades, it's going to be over. It's going to be an end. So it's a transition that is predictable. Another type, though, is sudden transitions. And those are ones like the loss of a loved one. A couple years ago, I lost my younger sister suddenly to cancer. And it was devastating. It wasn't something that we would ever think, you know, of the seven children, for the youngest of the seven to go first. I mean, it was a transition of, we were now six. And that was an example of a sudden and tragic transition. But we had to still find the grace of God in the midst of that and transition forward. Some transition isn't a happy thing. It just is thrust upon you. And then the other type is deliberate. That is when it's something that we choose to go on another path. For instance, if you choose to quit your job and go back to school safe and change your career, it's a deliberate transition. Or maybe you say, look, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own job. I'm going to start my own career. I'm going to start a business. You know, and you leave the security and comfort of your 9-to-5 job working for a company with benefits, and you step out and you start a new business or something like that. You're deliberately transitioning into something, and there's a change, and there's a stress involved in that, even though that you chose to do it. I know this firsthand, because we lived after Vancouver, then we planted U Church in Calgary, and we were there for 9 years, and then we made a big transition to the United States, and we were in our Every Nation office and church in Nashville, Tennessee for 14 years, and it just seemed like that was how our life was going to go. We were going to be there. Things were going well. The ministry was growing. Our church was really growing well, and we had a great job, great house, great, and then God called us back to Canada, and it was a deliberate move that we made. But there was a lot of things involved in that transition. It wasn't always easy. So in transition, I believe that from this passage, we can see three things. First of all, the need to acknowledge the loss. Secondly, to acknowledge the new. And third, and most importantly, to acknowledge God. And so let's look at these one at a time. First of all, acknowledge the loss. When we acknowledge loss, I think that there's two dimensions to acknowledging the loss. One is mourning, and two is releasing. Mourning and releasing. Notice how strong God is in this scripture. He said it, Moses, my servant, is dead. I mean, God just, they knew he was dead, but God wanted them to just acknowledge this. That era is now over. The chapter is now closed. This would be very, very, very hard on the people of Israel, because Moses was probably the greatest leader that Israel had ever known, probably the most prominent, arguably the most prominent figure of the Old Testament. I mean, Moses was just everything. I mean, he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. His name is actually an Egyptian one, meaning to draw out, because he was drawn as a baby out of the waters. If you know the story, if not, read your Bible and you will learn the story of Moses, because it's here in the Bible. He became a prince in Egypt. He performed the 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And then when they were time to cross the Red Sea, God used him to part the Red Sea. Then he led them in the wilderness, and they had supernatural food and meat during that time. And not only that, then God used him to go up on Mount Sinai and get the 10 commandments. I mean, this guy's legacy, this guy's resume, this was their leader. It would be hard for the children of Israel to imagine a life without their leader. It was just unfathomable for them to see all these things, from deliverance and to these mighty things, and you know, and then to receive the law, and just, you could just imagine yourself as one of those people. It just, well, Moses, he'll just always be there. He'll just always be there for us. He'll be our leader. I mean, he's got this track record, and we're comfortable with him, and we want him, and he's wonderful. But God had to come to Joshua and come to the people and just declared, you know what, the season for this leader is now over. And in transition, we have to fully acknowledge the loss. What is the definition of mourning? Mourning is a feeling and a period of sadness after a loss. It's something that we get in touch with our emotion that was a loss. That hurt. That's a pain, because something is being taken away from us that was dear to us and something that we loved. And Jesus spoke to this in his great Sermon on the Mount. He actually said, blessed are those who mourn. He didn't say, blessed are those who avoid mourning or deny mourning or run away from mourning. What did he say? Blessed are those who mourn, because when you acknowledge the mourning, what? They shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. Comfort doesn't come without an acknowledgement. When we're suppressing all the sad things, when we're suppressing and pushing them down, there's no comfort. Jesus, he said, even himself was a man, what, acquainted with grief, acquainted with sorrows. It was predicted him in the prophet Isaiah that his life would have a large dimension of mourning and of loss. And so in transition, the first thing we have to do is understanding, even if it's something little, you know, even if it's something just, even if it's one of these predictable transitions, there's still a change. There's still a change. And just to be able to allow ourselves to feel that, to allow ourselves to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that season of my life. And here's just a piece of pastoral advice for all of you. You know, when someone has a loss, it doesn't have to be just a loved one or something. Don't jump right in to solutions or trying to be positive. Just acknowledge their loss. Just empathize with their loss at that time. Sometimes we have, sometimes in us wanting to do good, we kind of jump, because we're not in the place of that other person. We want to jump to, oh, well, you know, you have, you know, think on the bright side. You know, it's not time to think on the bright side yet. I'm trying to mourn my loss. And so this is just a good piece of pastoral advice. When someone has a loss and they're in that grieving period, you know all you have to say is, I can't imagine what it must be like for you right now. I'm so sorry. You just grieve with those who grieve. Be joyful with those who joy, as the scripture teaches us. The second part of the grieving or the letting is the releasing or the letting go. It's like mourning. Mourning it has to do with more of a feeling of the sadness. Releasing is an ability to say, okay, that's done now. It's a releasing of that season or that time. One of our leaders had a prophetic word for our church just, I think maybe about a month ago, that was brought in our staff meeting. It was a picture that she saw and a kind of a vision, and it was of closed hands. And it was the Lord was saying, you know, you're clenching something, and I want you to open your hands. And as she reflected on the vision, it was, the Lord was saying, now look, I'm asking you to open your hand, not just so something can be released, but it's only open hands that I can give to. That in the same way when you release something, you also give yourself a posture of receiving from the Lord as well. And so it was, you know, isn't it funny how we, you know, have that tendency to just want to, oh, you know, the negative. And when God's saying, you know, it's not just I want to let go, I want to give you something else. Another illustration, friends of ours, when they had, I remember, they had a hard time getting their young children to enjoy their Christmas presents. And this is what was happening. They would give the present to the kid, and they were maybe 2 years old or something. And I can remember one of the guys coming to me and telling me how difficult it was to get this 1-2-year-old to enjoy their presents, because they would open up the box and start playing with the wrapping paper. And they would just play and play, and they're saying, no, it's like, you know, the toy, you know, and they were so excited about the toy. And the kid just wanted to keep playing with the wrapping paper. So finally, as a parent, he said he took the wrapping paper away so that, you know, they could enjoy, you know, and open up the toy. And when he took the wrapping paper away, the child began to cry. And right in that moment, it was like, wow, is that not a picture of us sometimes? It's like we're playing around with the wrapping paper. God's trying to give us a big gift. And finally, he takes the wrapping paper away and we start crying. And I thought it was just a beautiful picture. But you have to release the wrapping paper to enjoy the toy. And so there's something important in this about mourning and releasing. Okay, secondly, to transition well, we need to acknowledge the new. Acknowledge the new. One of the things that I absolutely love, especially in the summertime, is the sunrise. I don't know what it is. There's something about a sunrise that just is like, wow, it's the beginning of a new day. It's another, especially on a beach, like in Mexico or Hawaii or somewhere where I would love to go. You know, there is just something about that. There's something of a newness. There's something of a freshness that just, you know, the new day. And I don't even mind getting up early in the summertime if it's a nice sunrise, because there's something about, it's just brand new, it's so peaceful, quiet, and it just ministers to me. It makes me feel happy. But look at what God said in his word to Joshua. So the Lord said to Joshua in our text, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead, yes. But now arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving you. So notice it's Moses, my servant, is dead. And it said here, what did it say about Joshua? Notice there, Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses' assistant. He was the servant to Moses. And what did Joshua have to do? After he acknowledged that Moses is dead, then he could take on that God was promoting him. He was going from Joshua, the assistant, to Joshua, the leader. See, up until this point in time, Joshua was just an assistant. He was no great leader. I mean, if you've read your Bible along, you kind of have this idea of Moses was a great leader and Joshua was a great leader. If you know your Bible, because Joshua was the one who brought the children of Israel into the promised land. But at this point, Joshua is just his assistant. He was the admin. You know, he was the PA of Moses. That was it. He was no great leader. But after he acknowledged and they said, okay, Moses' tenure is done. Now, Joshua, there's something new for you. There's something new for you. You're not going to be an assistant anymore. I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up now. I want you to be the leader. I want you to be the leader. No longer are you assistant, Joshua. You're not just going to be carrying the bags anymore. You're not just going to be running for Tim Hortons, for Moses. Oh, they didn't have Tim Hortons in those days. Whatever they had in those days, Holy Ground, coffee. Now, Joshua, you're a leader. In fact, you're going to lead this great nation. And so, just as we need to acknowledge the loss, we also need to acknowledge the new thing that God has in this transition, in the new season. And there always is. There's always something next on transition. You know, God is the God who brings us from glory to glory. He doesn't bring us from failure to failure. He brings us from one glory to another glory. The path of the righteous, Proverbs said, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until full day. Yes, there may be a cry in the night, but there's a shout of joy in the morning. That's our God. That's our God. He brings us through these transitions, whether they're on purpose, deliberate, or sudden. He brings us through. So we acknowledge the loss. We acknowledge the new. But most importantly, we need to acknowledge God. That God is with us in the middle of all transitions. Look at again back in our text in Joshua 1, verses 3 to 5. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, towards the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You see, all of us here in this room are standing on the shoulders of another generation of believers who carried the torch forward of the gospel. And sometimes it's easy to say, oh, you know, well, weren't those great revivals over there or back in, you know, history, and we saw all these wonderful things. And do you not understand? We serve the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did 100 years ago, he is more than able to do right now. We are now the ones who have the torch have been passed to. It's not David Livingston's and all these other great Hudson Taylors. Now it's Shea and Phillips, backed by a congregation of people who will pray and give and send them. And there's going to be many more to follow. And we all have a part to play. Some of us will go. Some of us will send. Some of us will build. Some of us will finance. Some of us will serve. Some of us will preach. Some of us will be in the background. But every person important. Every person having a part to play. Just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. You know, it's interesting, God's perspective. From God's perspective, Moses was just a servant. He said, Moses, my servant. He didn't say, Moses, my great and mighty person. I made him so far greater than everybody else. That's why he could do it. In God's perspective, in God's economy, it's just Moses, my servant. But that's how he looks at you and me. It's just Bert, my servant. You can put your name there. You're just a servant of God. But at the same time, what a noble place to be a servant of God. In one sense, it's just... you're just a servant, but from God's perspective, compared to him, you're just a servant, but you're still great in him. And God will take you through those transitions. You know, I made mention before in my own life of just, you know, this transition coming back into Canada and believing God for something great here in Toronto. It's been a huge transition for me and my family. It's been, because we were so long there, you know, and we raised our family there. It was just, we're so rooted And normally, you know, starting over things, you know, you do that. I was thinking my excuses before God, of course, was, you know, Lord, I did that in my 20s. I did that in my 30s. You know, that's for young men and women to do. You don't start all over when you're sort of looking at sort of the final years of your career. You don't start thinking, okay, why don't I just start my life over again in a new city? I mean, you're just not thinking that. But God called us. And so, you know, we can't say no, Lord, or then he's not Lord. There's no such thing as no, Lord, then he's not your Lord. It's got to be yes, Lord. So it's hard, but we said yes. And it's been hard. A lot harder than we thought. And we've had to grieve the loss of so many people, so many friends, so many relationships, you know, a very comfortable life, to be honest. But if there's one thing that keeps us going, it's I know that God's with me. I know he's with me. He promised to never leave me and never forsake me. And yeah, I want the support of people and I want the favor of people. But the greatest possession that I have and the greatest possession that you have is God himself. Because sometimes, you know, you'll be looking to people and you'll be hoping for more. But ultimately, even for, you know, singles who want to get married, even when you get married, your spouse is not going to give you full completion. You're not like half a person and then you get married and you're a whole person. If you're half a person before you get married, you're half a person when you get married. God's the most important thing. That's the piece of your life that when you walk with him and you know him, that even on your darkest day, you hear his voice saying, I'm with you. It may look hard to you, but I have a different perspective, trust me. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's right. God is with me. The greatest thing that we can have is a transition, is a knowledge of that. Because whether it's a predictable transition, a deliberate, a sudden, to know that God is with you is the most important thing. To have a deep sense of that knowledge. And that can only come with spending time with him, with walking with him, with learning how to obey his voice, stepping out. And over time, you begin to find that confidence. You begin to find that he is faithful. And faithfulness of God doesn't become a kind of a mental concept, but it becomes deep in your heart. It's like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I just know it will because my God is with me. I just have that confidence. I know it in my knower. I know it in my heart. I know it in my spirit. I know it in my deepest sense of my being that he's with me and he's with you. And transition is the greatest thing. And in conclusion, when we think of even the great commission that Christ gave, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of us think that the Bible and the instructions of God are sort of like a roadmap or a GPS. You know, I have a confession to make. I get lost with the GPS. I'm phoning my wife, hey, honey, you know, I got lost with the GPS. Well, because sometimes the street's not there, it's not been updated, or something, there's another road by that name, and you got the wrong one somehow, so, hey, some of you have done that too, okay, so I'm not the only one who's done that. But, you know what's even better? You see, Jesus didn't promise a map to us, he didn't promise a GPS, he didn't say, hey, here's a good GPS, go for it. He didn't say, hey, here's a map, go for it. Do you know what he said? You know what's greater than that? The greatest thing, if you're driving somewhere, is not having someone that gave you a map or gave you a great GPS. It's someone who knows where to go and gets in the car with you and sits down beside right, left, straight ahead, you're doing great. Isn't that the best guidance yet? Is someone who will get in the car and just say, and knows the way, and is just telling you the instructions as you go. That's what Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission to go into all the world. He said, and behold, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. He's not, doesn't send a map. He comes into our life and guides us. And if you've not had that experience, maybe you've gone to church, maybe you've never really considered much about what the Bible is about or what God and Christianity is about, this is what it's about. It's about having a relationship with God where no longer is there's a barrier between you and God, but God actually comes into your life and you begin to walk with him and get to know him, and that he begins to guide your life. And everybody needs to do that. We call it follow the call. We encourage you to keep coming or to talk to people that we want to tell you. We want to share with you how you can have this kind of life where you actually know the Lord and hear his voice. And when you read his word, you're not just reading a distant book, but you're reading a letter that's been written to your heart. We want every person to have that. And if you've maybe started that journey, but it's like you're saying, man, it's like I know the Lord, I've put my faith in Jesus, but I don't have that connection, then we need to grow. It's called becoming a disciple. And one of the things about becoming a disciple is knowing God more and more. It's not like you just sort of, you know, have a one-time knowledge of God and then that's enough for the rest of your life. No, you have to keep growing and knowing him, praying, understanding him, and walking. And we would encourage you to keep going on that journey. Let's pray and ask God to illumine and apply this word to our hearts now. Father, we thank you, God, for this passage of Scripture where we see the transition from Moses to Joshua. But we thank you, God, that in it, Lord, we see so many of the insights, God, that you have for each one of us. That, God, we all go through transitions. And there'll be more in the future. But we thank you, Father, that you are with us. As we acknowledge the loss and we acknowledge the new, most of all, Lord Jesus, we want to acknowledge you in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.